I want to ask you a question. How many of us here, or my listening audience, have ever heard directly or a third party put the name of God's name in vain? I see some people, yeah. Lots of people. Okay, same question. However, this time, how many of us, those of us that have relationship with God and are in a family of God and we do God's bidding, use or have used his name in vain? We know that by using God's name in vain is blasphemy. And blasphemy is the act or offense of speaking sacrilegiously about God or sacred things. Profane talk, that's the definition. When committing blasphemy, we need to correct this action as soon as we are aware of it and do it quickly, especially this third commandment. Because if this action is left to fester, like the virus that we're experiencing now, it'll transmit from one person to another, and it starts eating away at you. We get in a frame of mind that is not conducive to our way of life. You say, come on, Mark. Yet, but with that attitude, again and again, knowing what you know, we will lead to another and another. Before you know it, your thinking has been changed, altered. You become an unprincipled person. A person predestined, and I'm going to use the word damnation, according to the definition. You say, what? According to what definition, Mark? A reprobate mind. That's the title of my sermonette. You think it cannot happen to you? Well, how many of us are in here? And how many of us have we heard, been in the church for a while, have heard the falling away? Many of you know, a few months ago, my mother died. She had a pre-planned funeral. And by having her wishes pre-planned, it made the funeral portion easier. We knew what her desires were. She also left behind a will, which makes this transition of her desires a seamless one. If you have any knowledge about courts, you have probably heard about probate court. Probate means a court process by which a will is proved valid or invalid. But there could be any number of other legal issues involved too. But primarily it's a probate is to prove the authenticity or not of a will. So you heard of people saying contending the will and of someone that contending, but that's where it goes to. And that's where that all legal ramifications go to. It is a legal determination, have a reprobate mind means to have no authenticity or to be an invalid relationship with God. People who reject God's way of life, even after being in a relationship with him and hearing the gospel time after time, will develop a reprobate mind because they have rejected his teaching, his light, his way of life. That person becomes a morally unprincipled person. What is a reprobate person anyway? It's a depraved, unprincipled, wicked person. Matthew 12, verses 30 to 32. It says here, in verse 30, whoever is not with me is against me. Jesus doesn't cut corners. He's saying, hey, are you with me or you're not? There's no, well, you know, if the wind is right, or if, let's see if my neighbor thinks it's okay. No, are you with me, yes or no? And whoever does not gather with me scatters. And so, I tell you, any sin and blasphemy. Do you know the distinction he makes? Any sin and then blasphemy. Those two things can be forgiven. But blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. So that's pretty much cut and dry. Some of my ask, what is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit anyway? Well, according to Wikipedia, it's a conscious and hardened opposition to the truth. And we know the truth, don't we? To be reprobate is to have a conscious and hardened resistance to the truth that leads man away from humility and repentance, and without repentance there can be no forgiveness. Colossians 3:8 tells us more and detail about blasphemy. We don't have to go there. You can read that on your own accord. Paul explained that pretty thoroughly. Here's some warning signs that comes to you when you're leaning towards that. One, it says, when you're starting, you start losing the ability to discern right and wrong from wrong. That's the number one thing. That's when you start catching yourself. Or when you hear another person of the church leaning toward that. Two, when you start to believe a lie as a truth. When you start to make excuses for the way you act. When you start calling evil good and good evil. When your desire to please God is no longer there. It's all about you. When you get nauseated when someone, a fellow member or a minister or an elder, tells you to correct you, you can't stomach down the truth. Seven, when you are uncorrectable, anyone who challenges you to grow, you see as an enemy. You basically have a don't care attitude. Again, this is a message for all of us that have been baptized and have a contract with God to be ambassadors of this earth and are in training to take his place in the kingdom. We're going to have trials, yeah. We're going to be tested, yes. Hebrews 6, verse 4. That pretty much, Hebrews tells us pretty much what we're made of here. It says, it is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, that's us, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, if they fall away, there's that word, fall away, to be brought back to repentance, because to their loss they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. In other words, it ain't going to happen. Brethren, it is like riding on a horseback down a steep canyon. And a horse you're riding suddenly starts losing footing. It starts sliding down the canyon. And the incline is so steep that you have to lay down on the saddle. Your head is resting on the back end of it. And as you're laying down and it's sliding down, you're wondering to yourself, is this too much for me? Have I bit off too much? This isn't what I signed up for. All these thoughts going through your head. Then all of a sudden the horse regains its footing. But just before it starts its descent again, because it knows it has to go down. It's not going up. You have reached a point that you can just jump off and get off the horse. But you know, If you do, because of the incline, you'll roll over, you'll roll down the rest of the canyon and die. So you keep on the horse. So you do remember that this horse is not a young colt. It's a seasoned animal and familiar with the terrain. So brethren, I'm here to say we are that rider. And the sole purpose of this sermonette, for this whole sole purpose of the sermonette, the Holy Spirit is our horse. The downward trail is our godly life. It is narrow, rough, and with a steep decline. To quit and get off would be certain death. By you quitting, by reprobating, you will perish. Remember, even though our calling is of a high one, remembering that the Holy Spirit is not by your side, but carrying you most of the time down this narrow trail of our calling. Remember, brethren, that I experienced that firsthand, so I know what I know the feeling. But the thing is, you have to trust the steed that you're on. Just like the faith, we have to keep faith with God. Remember that He sent a comforter for us, not letting us fall into temptation, but deliver us from a reprobate mind. Brethren, fear God and keep His commandments.